Hey, this is Ken at Capital Advantage Students. My job to get you past the Series 6, right? I say that all the time. I'm doing a video now. I'm trying to work through the rest of the Series 6 stuff, okay? So I do suitability. I have two suitability videos, so I'm not going to do that here. But we're going to talk about different types of strategies and portfolio analysis for the Series 6. While I'm not going to talk about suitability in general, because I have the two really good videos on there, we are going to have to know that when you do suitability, when you make a recommendation, you have to do what's good for the customer. You have to do what's suitable for like performance or what's best for the customer, not for profitability, not what's going to make you money. And it doesn't have to be guaranteed to make money. It just has to be suitable for their needs. Because if they need safety, you're not looking for profits, right? So you have to adjust what you do for their needs. Kind of like the rule we have where you go their age and bonds, right? So if they're 25, they might be 25% in bonds. If they're 80, the 80% bonds, stuff like that. But you are going to tweak it a little bit. Like if they're 25 and make a shitload of money and they want to be super aggressive, maybe you don't put them in any bonds or very little. Or if they're 80 years old and they're, you know, they're what, and they have a lot of extra money, maybe you put them in like 60% or 50% bonds. Like I'm 50, blah, blah, blah. I should be 50% bonds. I'm not. I have no bonds at all. I don't believe in them. I don't believe in them. I don't think they do me any good. I'd rather bet the farm on the stock market. Like if I'm going to do any kind of bonds or preferreds, I personally would do convertibles, but that's me. So we change it. So like literally, if I walked into your office as a know-nothing, which I am a moron, but if I walked in there as just a brand person who didn't know anything about finance, you're immediately thinking, "Be like, oh, you're old. You're 56. You should be about 50% bonds." And then you have a conversation with me to decide whether it should be more or less. That's where suitability comes in. You need to know a lot about your customer. And that's where my suitability videos really rack it up. Let's start with sort of the analysis stuff. So if you're growth analysis or growth stocks, these are stocks that are high PE, price to earnings, right? We believe the future earnings will drive the stock. So we believe that they have very fast growing earnings and that's going to drive the stock up. It's higher risk, you know, bigger reward maybe, but we believe it has a high PE ratio and doesn't really pay a lot of dividends. So they have a lot of retained earnings. So again, like a growth stock, we believe a growth stock, higher earnings, the higher earnings will drive the price up even more. I can't speak. Drive the price, because it's like 2 a.m, drive the price up even more. But we believe that as a high price to earnings, and you pay a very low dividend and very high retained earnings. What is retained earnings? Retained earnings is the earnings that the company makes that they don't pay out. Okay. So again, it's the earnings that the company makes that they don't pay out. They retain them like retaining water. Me, I retain fat. Okay. Good stuff. Okay. A value company is kind of the opposite. We'll leave that. It's like, it's undervalued, out of favor. So it's trading below where it's worth. Maybe not below its book value or anything, but lower than what we think it's worth. So it's kind of like a diamond in the rough a little bit. We are looking for it to grow fast, but it's not a growth stock. It's more of a company that's like a good, strong company and it's a long-term investor, but it's like, it's lower priced, so it's out of favor. So it's a good value, like going to TJ Maxx or something like that, or the Nordstrom Rack. You're getting stuff a little bit less than what it's worth. They have low PE ratios. They do make money. They're usually good companies that just maybe out of favor right now. They have a low PE ratio, usually have a high dividend yield, like they pay a high dividend. So they have low PE and low price to book. And they're kind of good companies that we look at the fundamental value of the company and say, you know what? Let's buy it and let's see how it goes. And usually we're on more of a longer term horizon. So a lot of analysts are either top down or bottom up. Sounds like a position or something. I don't know. But so top down means we look at the economy first, right? So top down, we'd be looking at the economy first. Then we jack it down to like the industry, to the sector, to the stock. So we look at the economy first as a big, and then we narrow down to pick what stock we have. So we're going to pick stocks from within an industry that we think will do well in this broad economy. That's top down. We're letting the economics of the economy drive what position we're taking. Then we do bottom up. We actually look at a company. We decide the company, and then we look at the analysis. We go to the industry. We go to the sector. We go to the broader economy to decide what to do with that company. I'll repeat that again. Bottom up starts with the company and works its way up to make decisions to either like prove what it says, validate it. It's much more of a fundamental analysis of the stock. Again, if you're talking to a CFA or something, he kicked my ass. But for this test, this works. Top down starts with the economy and narrows it down to the stock we want. bottom up starts with the stock and works its way out to the economy to decide if we're right or wrong on the stock. Momentum. It's like we're jumping on a trend, right? So, oh, people buying gold, we buy, we, and then we, maybe the hot money, we're chasing the money. Maybe it's going into tech, and then it's going into retail, then it's going to like media, then it's going to medical. We follow the money. We're trying to jump on the bandwagon of what's going on quickly in and out, like not day trading, but very short term, jumping on momentums and trends to jump on and then get off before it crashes. Kind of fun. Then we have like indexing or benchmarking. That's like, we don't believe that there's value and like what they call alpha of trying to outperform the market. So like index funds and stuff like this, or ETFs, a lot of these, we're just trying to match the market. We just buy to match the market. We're not trying to beat it. And the thing about this is usually there's lower turnover, the lower cost, it's more efficient. So it's a little cheaper because you're not paying for some manager, but that's what indexing or benchmarking is, trying to match a market, not trying to beat it. Index funds, ETFs, low cost, tax efficient. Now we're into MPT, modern portfolio theory. Again, I'm doing series 6 level, 7 level, not real smart guy level. Modern portfolio theory believes that instead of picking individual stocks for what they are, we're going to look at the whole portfolio and try to get the most reward for the given or least amount of risk. Because the idea is that investors are risk averse. They don't want risk. So they want the best return for a given level of risk. And that's what we're doing. We're tweaking it, like, you know, making it more stock, more bonds, stuff like that. Like, this is a surprising stat, so, which is very interesting. If you have an entirely index related, stock related portfolio based on the index, you should return around 10.2% a year. That's just a given. It's all stock, 10.2% a year. It's the way it's been. If you actually do half bonds, half stock, it's 9.1%. You'd think it'd be like 6 or 7 because it's bonds, but it isn't. It's only about 1% or 2% lower than all index. So that would be almost efficient. You're taking away some of the risk. That's what you're playing with. You're moving the numbers around and the portfolio percentages to come up with what they call the optimal portfolio or the efficient frontier. The optimal portfolio is, and there's more than one. It's not like there's only one. There's different paths to this. But you want to find the most reward for a given level of risk, okay? And that would be the efficient frontier. And if you're ahead of that, you're actually earning more than expected. Kind of neat. So modern portfolio theory is a belief that you're going to look at the whole portfolio and tweak the percentages and the ownership to come up with the best or the as best that you can think of, an optimal portfolio, which means the most reward for a given level of risk. Now we look at some of the averages, right? So let's go over this. So the Dow Jones, which is my favorite, the Dow Jones, my God, I'm stuttering. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is really just 30 of the biggest stocks. Okay, those are the stocks you'll know. And it's actually price weighted, which is weird, but whatever. It sounds like, oh, the whole market, it's very narrow. It's 30 stocks are like all industrials in the same thing. Another Dow Jones is the transportation, and then the Dow Jones Utility. They're not going to go into it more than what I just said. The Dow Jones, the DGIA, is the one you always see on CNBC. That's just 30 stocks, really, really big companies. And it's price weighted, again, which is based, the higher the stock is, the more it pulls the index, which is weird. Then we have the S&P 500. That's the one everyone uses. That's the one that the VIX is based on. Usually the index for the whole, not the whole market, but like a broad swath of the market. So we're not going to have to break it down what's in it, but it's like a bunch of industrials, transport, financials, utilities. It's all that. But it's 500 stocks that are basically on the stock exchange, the Amex, and NASDAQ. No over-the-counter stocks on the S&P 500. It's an idea. It gives you an idea of how the market in general is doing. So most people, when they look at the market, they're talking about the S&P 500, this one. The New York Stock Exchange Composite is just all the stocks on the New York Stock Exchange. Kind of fun. The Wilshire is the widest. I think it's actually 6,300 stocks. So they used to call it the Wilshire 5,000. So it's almost like the total market. It's literally all the stocks on the stock exchange, the American, and NASDAQ, every one of them. And it's basically the broadest. They may just ask this straight up, what's the broadest or widest index? It's the Wilshire. The Russell 2000 is basically 2,000 of small cap stocks, okay? It's 2,000, yeah, it works, 2,000. It's all small caps, so it's a little more volatile, but it's not indicative of the larger market. That's the thing. So if you have a broad-based portfolio of a lot of different things, you're going to use a broad-based index to track it, okay? If you have a narrow base, like you're just doing utilities or industrials or tech, you're going to use a narrow-based index to track that. Okay. So, because you want to know how you're doing, you're not, if you're just in high tech, you're not going to compare yourself to the Dow Jones or the S&P 500 because it's not right. It shouldn't be. You should compare it to an index that tracks that. If you're in just small cap stocks, you should be using the Russell 2000 to compare how you're doing versus that. So let's think about CAPM. It's literally, in a nutshell, it's are you getting enough reward for the risk you're taking? So we're measuring your risk. We're using the level of risk to determine what your expected return is. So we use things like, we're going to use stuff like how much you put in, what you're earning, what risks you're taking. There's two types. There's diversifiable, which is like business risk, and then there's non-diversifiable, which is market risk. We're going to compare it versus the risk. So think about it. If you invest in like the 90-day T-bill or something very safe, you're going to get a return. If you're going to take on more risk, you're expecting a return commensurate or correlated with the extra risk. That's what CAPM is all about. It's basically what should my return be based on the risk I'm taking. So again, CAPM is really what return I should get based on the risk or the amount of risk I'm paying over the risk-free rate of return. The risk-free rate of return is like T-bills. So if we want to earn more than that, we're going to have to increase our risk to get to that. That's CAPM. Basically, if I'm going to take a risk, what I'm going to. I don't think you have to do the math on beta because this is all part of this, right? Okay. So beta, I always think of a multiplier. So if your portfolio, and you don't make it up, they do. If your portfolio has a beta of 1.5, okay, the beta 1.5, that means you will move 1.5 times the market. Okay. If you have a beta of 1.2, you're going to go 1.2 times the market. If you have a beta of 0.5, you're going to move half as much as the market. If you have a beta of 0, you're not moving, you're dead. If you have a beta of -1, you're going to move the same amount as the market, but the opposite way. So let's say, I'm not even going to draw it, let's say you have a beta of 1.5. Okay. That means you're going to move 1.5 times the market. Now, the market goes up 10%, you should do 1.5 times 10, that's 15%. Always think of beta as a multiplier versus the index. It's what your portfolio is expected to do. Now, let's go back to that. Market goes up 10, you have a beta of 1.5, you should do 15%. But what if you do 17? But you did better. You're expected to do 15, you did 17, that's alpha. You did 2 points of alpha. Alpha is what you do better than expected. So let's do it the other way. Let's say the market goes down 10%. You're supposed to go down 15, but you want to go down 12. That's good. It sounds bad. You lost 12%, but you were expected to lose 15. You only lose 12. That's 3 points of alpha. So alpha is what you do better than expected. But the other side of this is, however, if you have a beta of 1.5, market goes up 10, you're supposed to go up 15 and you do 13, you did worse. That's a negative alpha. So you're not doing your job. Alpha is literally just, what are you adding to the pie? Are you doing better than expected? Are you earning your pay? Now, fundamental analysis, right? So there's fundamental versus technical. None of these tests go super deep into this, but we'll have a chat and I have a video on this. Maybe I'll attach it. Maybe I'll remember. Maybe I won't forget. So fundamental analysis is no fun, right? Fundamental analysis is you're looking at the balance sheet, which is where all the assets and liabilities are. You're looking at the income statement where the money flow goes in and out. And you have to know the difference that balance sheet is assets and liabilities. Income statement is where the money goes in and out. Like the cash is an asset, but cash flow is an income. Okay. You have to look at that. Maybe you have to look at PE ratio. So the best part about this is we're all dumbasses. So the formula tells us what it is, right? PE ratio. Price over earnings. We talked about it before being high. So price divided by earnings. Okay. What's earnings? Earnings per share. So it's the earnings divided by the number of outstanding shares. Okay. Again, earnings per share. Current ratio, current assets divided by current liabilities. That's a liquidity measure. Working capital, that's one's different. It's current assets minus current liabilities. It's literally how much money we have available to do stuff. So I keep using the word current. Okay. So current asset means stuff we have now on a short-term basis like cash, or we're going to get within a year. Current liability is like what we owe now, or we're going to owe in a year. Like accounts payable is a current liability. Accounts receivable means we're expecting money within a year. It's a current asset. So working capital is current assets minus current liabilities. That is telling us how much kind of cash we have to play around with. Okay. That is fundamental. That's the no fun. It's boring. You're looking at the company, stuff like that. Then there's technical. Always think of T for trading. Technical is for trading. Okay. That's like you're looking at trends and patterns. Like you see a support, like a stock goes down to 50, up to 60, down to 50, up to 60. It's creating a supported 50 and resistance at 60. Now the stocks can go past that, but they most likely won't. So that's what's happening. Technical looks at patterns and trends and tries to decide where the stock's going to go. A good firm has both a fundamental and a technical. Because a fundamental will look at the company, go, I really like this company right here. It's strong balance sheet, blah, 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 low PE. And they go, should I buy it yet? The technical will say, no, you know what? It's trending down. If you wait a couple of days, you might actually get to buy it a little cheaper than you expected because it's trending. So again, technical is about trading. We're looking for trends, patterns, overbought, oversold, things like that. It's all about the stock trading. We don't even give a shit what the stock does. It's literally what the stock is moving up and down. And fundamental actually looks at the company and breaks it apart. So it's boring as hell. I can't do that shit. So that's fundamental is looking at the company. Technical is looking at, they don't care about the company. They're looking at the trading patterns and trends and stuff like that. Boom. I think that works. I think that's a good one. On the investment strategies and the portfolio analysis, I'll try to attach suitability videos here or even just the playlist for that. Or it should be in the six. I just give you the six crash course playlist. That should have it in there. I'm definitely going to try to add my balance sheet video to somewhere in where I'm talking. Either way, short video and not super long. This is all about investment strategies and portfolio analysis. And it's a short one. This is for the series six. Let's go with this. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this shit. And meet me every Tuesday and Thursday night if you have questions on the Tube of You, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. It's also on LinkedIn. Adios.